Tonight's the first speaker who is Alan.
Thanks,
Charlie. Hello there, everyone. My name's Alan, and I'm a grateful addict. And this is my story. If you don't like it, not my problem. Have a word with your sponsor or put it on your step team. But I don't really care what you think about me, really, because I've come from where I've come from, where I am now. I've come a long, long way. So my self-esteem's through the roof through working a programme. I wanted the 40 minutes slot. Because I'm talking 40 minutes without worry. 15 minutes, I'm going to struggle a little bit with that one. Because my ego's saying, well, anyway, I'm going to crack on. My experiences, I was a drug addict, and all I wanted to be was happy. That was it, yeah. So I went into treatment because I'd had enough. I was depressed. I was dying. I'll describe it as the Pirates of the Caribbean. The pirates are not alive and they're not dead. That's how I was, and that's how I survived. And I went on. Went into treatment. But the first time I cried. When I say I cried, I don't say cried the whole tears. Where I went, Hulk, because I was good at that. I got a PhD in bullshit. You know, I win an Oscar. I'm a good actor. And I went into treatment and I cried. And when I say I cried, the pain was unbearable. And I cried and I cried and I cried probably about 6 months in my treatment centre. Because the pain I was suffering had to come out. And if it didn't come out in that treatment centre, I would have gone and used again. And then I got introduced to the fellowship because when I was there was a couple of young ladies and I was up in Sheffield. I've been clean over 20-odd years, 28 to be exact. And I don't say that to brag or boast, but I say that because if there's a newcomer in the room, it's possible. One day at a time and you'll get what you want. My promises have come true. All I wanted to be was happy, and I am happy. So my recovery's solved. Anything else I get from my recovery is a bonus. And when I say I'm grateful, I think I'm grateful in my sleep. Because I was told if I wasn't grateful for being clean, I was going to go back out and use. And I thought the geezer was going to swear then, but I've been asked not to swear. But I had a few choice words. And when I came in, it was quite difficult because I had two images. I had the drug addict and the recovering addict syndrome. And when I got in company, my ego would come out very quickly. And I would get into the realm of how much drugs I took and how much we did and how much money. And if people bought into that with me, I stuck with them people. If somebody spoke to me about recovery, I didn't want to know them. Because I was scared. And a lot of my stuff was fear. So I came in and my sponsor said, right, are you ready to do the work? I said, yeah. He said, well, the first thing I want you to do is go and pick up the cigarette butts. I went, you what? Pick cigarette butts up with other people's. I don't even smoke. You want me to pick up cigarette butts? My ego. He won't remember where you come from. You tried a suicide. You was a tramp and a squat. You said to me you wanted to be happy. Remember. And I went, okay, fair enough. And that's all you should say to me. Remember where you come from. Remember what you asked for when you walked into these rooms. Not what you want, but what you asked for. And that was to be happy. So he would ground me every single time. Every time I was getting my ego, he would ground me and say, remember what you came in for. And then I go, okay, and I walk away, and I go, okay, yeah, I walk away, I think he's an arsehole. And then when I come to do my step three, no, this way, I planned a relapse, right? What I'd done was I laid in the bar, I thought, right, it's a Saturday morning. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have a tear up with the old lady. Yeah, I'm going to have a tear up, but it's going to be over St. Silly. And when she says to me this, I'm going to kick that pane of glass out. I'm going to walk out the door. I'm going to go and get some gear. I'm going to come back and say, look, what you made me do. And I was sitting in the bar. Somebody rung me up. He went, oh, you're coming to the meeting. And I floated. I floated out of that bath. I floated down the King's Road. And he felt like I floated into the meeting. I walked up to this American guy. I give him a cuddle. Because I'm cuddle men now. It's all right, you know, I'm not this big macho geezer. The voice might sound macho. But inside, I'm a softie. So I'll give him a hug and I'll see if you saved my life. So these are the things that happened to me in my recovery that made me came to believe. I came to believe. And I'll give him a cuddle and I looked at him and I cried. And he went, what are you crying about? I said, you don't know what that meant to me, that phone call. And then my ego started creeping back in and I was sitting in another thing and again he went, we're going for a burger. I went, nah, not me. I was polo, I had no money. Polo, I mean, pump, no money. So they went, yeah, come on. I went, no, he said, look, I'm going to tell you something now. And you need to take the cotton wool out of your ears and stick it in your mouth. I'm going to buy you a burger. I went, yeah, and a coffee. He said, because when you're in the situation I'm in, and you can afford to buy a newcomer a burger and a coffee, you'll do the same to them. That's how the program works. Oh, and I'll have the biggest burger and the biggest cup of coffee. Greed kicks in then. I went, I'll have some of that. So that flew in there, so I thought, well. But that's how it was shown to me. So I pass it on to the next person. Who's going to pass it on to the next person, and the next person? And that's how I've learned this program works, by listening to other people's experiences. So as I say, then I suddenly got a voluntary work job down Cato, the old Kent Road, a drug treatment place, because I thought, yeah, I'm going to be a great drugs worker. What we all think, most people think, well, I'm going to be a great counsellor, a great drug worker, great, I'm going to be a great therapist, because I've been there, I'm going to be the nut. Yeah, I'm going to be fantastic. So I thought, yeah, I am. And I was. I was, believe me, I was. And so I went, worked down there, and I got a job in Cato. Then I went to worked in the treatment centre I worked at, and I went from a guy who couldn't read and write, and I went back to Catholic College to learn to read and write. And I walked into this class and I looked around and I felt tiny, but everybody else felt the same. They're not addicts, they're human beings. They felt exactly how I felt. So you don't have to be an addict to feel what normal people feel all the time. So I thought, okay, so I cracked on and I got a job there and I thought, yeah, I'm good at this, I like this. And then people would come in, I'd go, yeah, been where you got a T-shirt, yeah, been there, boom, boom, boom. If you use the doors, I'm going to swear again, the doors there. If you used in the rehab I was in, I chucked you out. You didn't get a second chance, you didn't get a third chance. The door was there, baked potatoes, gone. And people said to me, oh, that's rigid, that's unfair. I said, well, that's the hardest decisions I've got, mate, because I'm talking about people's lives. When you ask somebody to leave and they die, you've got to live with that consequence. But that's not the side people see when you go into the treatment centre. All they see is you're being heartless and throwing them out. They don't see the other side as a start member. Anyway, done that, and I went to Denmark, I went to Norway, I opened up a treatment centre there, and I went to Woden Prison, I opened another one there. This is from a kid who never even had an education. I can achieve anything I want. And no one on this earth, no one, can tell me I can't. No one. And when I say that, I'll get emotional. I'll get all tingly because I am passionate about my recovery. I'm passionate about saying I can prove you wrong. Because there's many doubters out there. And you've got to also understand it. People that know me now don't know me as Alan the junkie, they know me as Alan. Alan. I haven't got a label now with these people because they don't know me because I've been around for so long. And then I got into the gossiping. Oh, I loved a bit of gossip. Don't character defense. Oh, look what they're wearing, slag that one up. Yeah, look what they're doing, yeah, slag that one up. Yeah, blah, blah. And I suddenly thought, my sponsor said to me, why are you doing that? I went, it makes me feel good. He went, well, you'll start using them. So I went, what do you mean? He said, think about your step six. Because that's one of your character defects, what you're doing now. And I went, bang on. And then I turned around and I went the other way. If you gossip, I hope you die. I hope you have a shit recovery. So I went from being the biggest gossip to suddenly being righteous. Yeah, you're going to do this. And that's how I become. And then suddenly I found the balance. And what I'll say to people, if you gossip, don't come and tell me. So what do people do? They don't come and tell me. So it keeps me safe. It keeps me safe. What's my primary purpose? To stay clean. If I get into gossiping with people and start doing that, what happens? It takes me away from my primary purpose. And I've learned with an own group as well. What an own group to me is about, I've got 20 sponsors in my own group. What if my sponsor goes and picks up tomorrow? What do I do? I go to my own group and say my sponsor's picked up and I've got 20 other sponsors in there. I can't go out to my own group and lie because people know me. That's what an own group's for. So when I go in there and I go, they go, you're all right? Because we all go, yeah, I'm all right, but. We come into a programme, we go, you're all right? And you go, yeah, 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 but I'm not really. Why can't we just go, no, I'm not all right, as it happens? That's okay. But we make this elaborate ruse to get to the point. Because 90% of what we say is crap, and 10% is real. And, you know, five minutes. I told you I was going to be rapid, didn't I? That old cup of Rosie. So what I've learned in this recovery, in my experience, and my strength, and my hope is that I'm going to be 50 years clean. I don't care what anyone says. Remember what I said earlier on, I don't care what anyone says. Day at a time. I'll do my programme. I'll do my readings. I've got a God of my understanding. Now, I know some people say, God, he's a bad person. God of my understanding. Remember what I said at the beginning? I don't care what you think. It's a God of my understanding. It's an eye power of my understanding. It's somebody that knows everything about my power, knows more about me than anyone. Because if I think it, he knows it. End of story. And I've said God in the rooms before. And I was demonised. Oh, you can't mention God. I said, killer. Oh, sorry, tough. Because I've got to my understanding, as I said to you. And I came in and I put the hard work in. I've worked hard. No one give it to me. Nobody went to me. There's 12 steps there and they're easy. All they said to me was, if you do them, your life will change. If you do what's them promises, your life will change. And it's changed. And I've maintained it and I've kept it going. And then, like I said, the treatment centre, I was there, I was good at it, and I left there because it was about people, I was saying to John earlier on, it was about people's lives I worked for, not finances. So I left there and I thought, what am I going to do? And then I opened up a scaffold company. So I went there. And I opened up with somebody that I truly love and I truly respect. And I think I might even cry. I truly love and I truly respect. And I love them to pieces. And I would never have started coming up with anybody else on this earth, apart from this person. And this is the rewards that I've got. I've got somebody that I can say, another man that I love and I respect. I couldn't do that before. Because I hated everybody, I hated everything. But I can sit here in front of people that I don't even know and feel emotional. As I said, I don't care. I watch Little House on the Prairie and I cry. Now I sit with my daughter and watching telly and I'm there in tears. And she's sitting there laughing at me. That's okay. Because I'm in touch with that sensitive side of me. I might be sensitive. If you say you don't like me, I don't care now, but before, months. And resentment, so I'm going to finish on it because I've got a couple of minutes. I learned resentment was resent. Resent. So every time I get resentment, I resend it to myself. So if I don't deal with that resentment, what do? I resend it to myself. So if I haven't seen someone for 6 months and I've got resentment against them, what do? I resend it to myself. So why not get rid of it? Why not write it down on my step channel and go, well, that person's upset me, boom, they're going to go down on them. I'll make an amends to them. I'll make an apology to them. But you ain't going to live me ever and free. Nobody lives in me ever and free. I won't allow it. But I've had to learn to do all this stuff. Doing my program, how I was shown, it's worked for me. And I love recovery. I love it with a passion. I love waking up this morning and thinking, no drug is going to take me today. I'm going to get up, I'm going to walk down that street, I'm going to walk around the West End, no label on me back, no one saying he's a drug addict, look at him, he's a scumbag. Because I would have nicked your video. You would have took me in your ass, I would have nicked your video. I would have nicked anything from you. Your goal, I would have waited for you to fall asleep. Nick your ring, your watch. Even if it was worth 2p, I'd nick it. Because I had no values, no morals. And I've got all them back and more. The most precious thing in my life is my recovery. That's number one priority. My number two priority is my daughter. And my number three priority is my partner, who I'm still with 30 years down the line. And I love her more today than I did yesterday. Because I know what love is today. I know what it's about. It's about give and take. And I'm passionate about recovery. And I'm passionate about the steps as they're set out and how they're done. If you don't want to do that, not my problem. But don't come into meetings whinging and bitching about your life shit if you ain't willing to put the work in. What right have you got to come into a meeting and go, my life's crap, but I'm not willing to do anything about it and change the way I think and feel? You've got no right to do that. Work your program. Is that it? Happy days. Well done.